Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Just got done doing a whiteboard video that I think you guys will find interesting. It'll come out tonight or tomorrow, but it got me thinking about what's going on with the Dutch farmers. I know I addressed that on a live stream yesterday, but I did a lot more research this morning, and I just came to the conclusion that without a doubt, the biggest scam in the world right now, maybe potentially in world history, is climate change. And now I'm not saying it's not real. I'm not saying it's not a problem. I am saying it's been corrupted, in my opinion, by politicians, by financiers, by corporations, and they are using it to gain power, control, wealth. I mean, it's just so obvious when you look at what's happening. So again, I'm not saying, you can have whatever opinion you want on climate change or how we should be addressing it or, the severity of what may happen, the probabilities. But the bottom line is there are people, nefarious people out there that are simply using this as a way to gain power, control, and wealth. I mean, that's just the bottom line here. I mean, if you don't recognize that, you're just an ostrich with your head in the sand. You're just ignoring. You're like a child that's just trying to pretend that nothing's wrong in the world. And you're trying to pretend that all these people that are pushing the agenda you agree with are just benevolent. And I think if you take a deep dive and just look in the mirror, and if you're just honest with yourself, you've got to come to the conclusion that there are a lot of people that are pushing the narrative that you agree with that are as crooked as a scenic railway, as we used to say. But let's get into it. First and foremost, article from CNBC. Now, I'm not saying that these guys in particular are a scam. I'm just using this as an example as to how this narrative is going to be leveraged to gain wealth. And in some cases, maybe this is one, maybe it's not, it'll be used as a scam. It'll just be this boondoggle that the people that are closest to the money printing, the Cantillon effect, will use to enrich themselves. And again, I want to be very clear. I'm not saying that this fund is doing that. I'm just using this as an example of what people who were unscrupulous, let's say, use this as an example of what they could do. So nearly 40% of global carbon dioxide emissions come from real estate. So this fifth wall is raising a massive fund to invest in companies that can help decarbonize the real estate industry. It's about to become a retrofitting industry, says Brendan Wallace, co-founder of Fifth Wall. So they talk about how the fund was just launched, $116 million. They closed it to new investors. But they go on to say, it's about to become a retrofitting industry, said Wallace, who admits that his $500 million fund is just a drop in the bucket against what he says will be an $18 trillion expenditure to decarbonize commercial buildings alone. $18 trillion. And this is excluding residential homes and infrastructure. One of the questions I address on the whiteboard video today is this whole you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. When this first came out, myself included, people were thinking, okay, well, how does that work? Like, I own my house, I own my car. How do we transition into this world where Klaus owns it or where Bill Gates owns it? And one of the ideas I had was maybe they make it to where you can't afford your house anymore, to where you have to sell. So the government comes in and says, well, sure, you can keep your house. No problem. No problem. Yeah, absolutely. Private property rights. This is the USA. This isn't communist Russia. Sure, you can keep your house. But, I mean, you just need to reduce your house's emissions by 95%. And you say, well, wait a minute. Whoa, time out. If I do that, and you have one of these green inspectors come and give me the stamp of approval, That's going to cost me $50,000. I don't have $50,000 to retrofit my house. Oh, well, no problem. We've got a solution for that. The Fed, the IMF, Klaus, Bill Gates, BlackRock, they'll go ahead and buy your house for you. And then you don't have to worry about coming up with the $50,000. And then you can just rent for the rest of your life. In fact, we can buy your house. BlackRock can buy your house from you and do all the green improvements. And then they can just rent it back to you. So you don't even have to move. I'm not saying that this is what's happening. I was just trying to think through, you know, how would they get this done? Well, this is one way. That's one way they could do it. We'll have to see what happens in the years to come. But when I read statistics like this, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. When we're talking about $18 trillion to decarbonize commercial buildings alone, never mind the homes and infrastructure. You know, as most of you guys know from watching my videos, I've been in real estate for quite some time, since 2012. I retired as an entrepreneur. I'd never owned real estate, but in 2012, I kind of went head first into real estate. So I know the business well, especially residential, single family homes. And this is very similar to mold remediation, except that's at a level that's microscopic, no pun intended, compared to what they're talking about here. And it is true, mold is a problem. You don't want that stuff in your house. But what I saw them do, if one person, as an example, would just find one little bit of mold, like on their drywall, even you open up the wall and you see that it's just a spot like this, just be from a leaky faucet or you know, something like that. You want to make sure, because on the outside it can be like this, on the inside it could be massive. But there's tests, they can run a scope up there and see what's doing. But a lot of the time, you just get a spot like this because of a leaky faucet. You could literally just take what was it that they would use back in the day that was very effective. I think it's just vinegar. I think you just spray it with vinegar and make sure, obviously, you fix the leaky pipe. But then the mold that's showing on the outside of the drywall, you just spray it with vinegar and it's gone. It completely kills the mold, and whatever's behind the wall, even if there is a small amount of mold there, that dies and just turns into dust and stays in the wall, because assuming you stop the leak, because there's no more water to feed it. But what I saw happening every once in a while is like a mold remediation company would come in and they'd see that little spot on the wall and they'd give them like a $15,000 bid to fix it. And you're like, 15 grand, like how? And you know damn well the company's going to come in and just spray vinegar on it. They're like, oh, well, we've got to put your whole entire house into a big air bubble, you know, and then we've got to have hazmat suits and all these things and blah, 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 blah. And so where you're spending 15 grand and you're like, this is bananas. This is madness. And again, is mold a problem? Yeah, you don't want that stuff. But is it a $15,000 problem where you have to encapsulate your house in this big air bubble, like Bubble Boy, that movie? No, that's insanity. That's insanity. So, and this has the very same feel to me that, you know, you get this $500 million fund and they invest in all these companies that will retrofit your house. And they're charging you hundreds of thousands of dollars. And when in reality, it's barely doing anything to your house. It just makes you feel good about helping the environment or something like that. That's what I see as the most likely outcome here. Because again, how do you do that? Just out of curiosity, how do you retrofit a house, a residential home? I mean, you could add insulation to it. Okay, great. Just pour some of that in the attic or whatever. But what else are you going to do? I mean, anything else that, and I'm sure there's a lot of things you can do, but what they don't tell you is that it just barely does anything. but yet they, again, they charge you 20 grand. And although it reduces your house's emissions by, you know, 0.0000005%, at least you can say that you're helping the environment. It's a lot like owning a Tesla. It's the exact same thing. You know, how does owning a Tesla help the environment on net balance? When you think about where the electricity comes from, when you think about where all the components and the commodities that go into the batteries come from, on net balance, it's probably more detrimental to the economy than driving a diesel Golf that gets 80 miles to the gallon. But that diesel Golf that gets 80 miles to the gallon doesn't make you feel good if you're a greenie, where driving a Tesla does. It allows you to go down to the local DMV and get a license plate that has clouds and fresh air. And then you can personalize the plate by saying whatever obnoxious thing you want to say to Virtue Signal. You know, this is the whole game. This is the whole game here. And again, I want to be clear. I'm not saying that mold isn't a problem. I'm not saying that the climate change isn't a problem. I'm just saying that 95% of the people that are going to be involved in this moving forward, in my opinion, are going to be just people who are could care less about the temperature in the ocean. They just see this as an opportunity to get closer to the money, usurp power, control, or wealth. And the people who are going to be taking most advantage of this are the people who are closest to the purse strings. Again, going back to the Cantillon effect. So now let's move on to everyone's favorite, the World Economic Forum. Woo-hoo! And we've got this wonderful paper from them. And let's go right to the top, because I'm sure all of you will want to run out and read this. And then, of course, they've got this picture of a rugged-looking farmer there with his little Amish hat on. And boy, oh boy, he's growing food. But at the same time, obviously, he's decarbonizing. And obviously, he is producing net zero emissions. And everything he is doing, you can tell by just looking at him, is very, very healthy for the environment. Definitely a quote-unquote green farmer. And if you think that's ridiculous, I share your opinion, but believe it or not, throughout this article, the World Economic Forum references a new plan they have. Woohoo! I didn't even realize it. Yes, this plan was set up in 2020. It's not the Great Reset. Oh, no. But it's part of it. This plan is called the EU, wait for it, Green Deal. Oh, yes. It's not the Green New Deal. It's the EU Green Deal. Boy, you'd think they could be a little bit more creative in these titles and just not borrow them from each other. But this goes to show you that this is all just a bullshit script. Forgive me for using profanity, but this is what it is. It's the only way you can describe it. It's why Trudeau, Biden, AOC, Angela Merkel, the dude I can't remember the guy's name, but the person that's you know, coming down on the Dutch farmers, I can't, what is that politician's name? I can't remember. But anyway, regardless, it's all these people. It's why whenever they talk to the media, they use the exact same terminology. They use the exact same words. They have the exact same agenda, the exact same plan. Listen, before I retired, I ran a call center. I had a call center that was part of one of my core businesses. Right, is a 40-seat call center. And it's exactly what you do. You'd have a script for each one of your telemarketers. They were taking inbound calls. So when they would take inbound calls, I would have a script that the telemarketing manager would make sure that every single one of the telemarketers was saying whenever they would get a call to make sure that you have a consistent message. So I get it. I've done that before. So are we to assume that the global elite don't hand down this script? Well, again, I don't know that for a fact. I don't want to, you know, have a bigger tinfoil hat on than I usually have. But how would you explain all of these politicians and all of these Davos types using the exact same terminology? The Trudeaus, the Bidens, the AOCs, the Merkels, the Macrons. They're using the exact same terminology at all time. And they have, and just oddly, they all have the exact same priorities and the exact same objectives. I mean, that in and of itself, I think, is how you know this is a complete ruse. That none of them disagree with each other on anything. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts, Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out-of-control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. You get me, Brent Johnson, and Peter Schiff together. And as you guys have seen on videos, we agree on a lot of things, but there are many areas that we disagree. And we'll sit there and go back and forth and try to debate things in a respectful manner, in a respectful way, because we're all good friends. But we'll sit there and try to push back on each other's ideas. Have you ever seen these people push back on one another? Have you ever seen Klaus push back on Trudeau? Or have you ever seen Trudeau push back on Angela Merkel, saying, oh, yeah, we do need to implement that that Green Deal, the EU Green Deal, but I don't know. I get why you're saying that, but let's think about this. Let's go over a proper cost-benefit analysis. And I think if you do a cost-benefit analysis, Angela, you're going to see that this is not a good strategy, because it's going to reduce food supply in the long run, and it's actually going to hurt the poor and middle class. Can you imagine Trudeau saying that? Absolutely not. It's just, let's fall right in line with whatever the script is. Let's get back to the article here. So this is the World Economic Forum, Transforming Food Systems with Farmers, a pathway for the EU. As if anyone at the World Economic Forum has ever been a farmer. What's the probability of that? Honestly, have you ever tuned into one of these World Economic Forum deals? In fact, I've got one, I think, pulled up right here that we're using on today's video. Yeah, right here. So this gal, believe it or not, is in charge of all of these restrictions that are being thrust upon the Dutch farmers. She is part of, I'm looking at my whiteboard here. She is president of the European Commission. And the European Commission's job is to implement the EU Green Deal. Look at this gal. You think she knows a lot about farming? I wonder how many farms she's run in her life. And then look, here's where Klaus is introing her. Right? So look at this. Annual meeting 2020, World Economic Forum, annual meeting Davos 2022, I meant to say. Look at the stage. Do you think there's anyone in this crowd right here that's a farmer? I mean, give me a break. This is nonsense. But yet, the arrogance required to come out with a paper that are basically telling farmers that they're just too stupid and they don't realize that the best way to farm. And we, the World Economic Forum, through the EU Green Deal, the European Commission, and this gal, Ursula, we're going to tell you how to do it the right way because you're too stupid to figure it out yourself. I mean, is it any surprise the Dutch farmers are just protesting and giving them the finger? I mean, how pissed off would you be if you were someone that that had been, or your family had been farmers for like the last 500 years, just generation after generation after generation after generation. And you guys had accumulated all of this expertise. And then you've got some bureaucrat that up on a stage that looks like this, telling you that you don't know what you're doing. I mean, man, I tell you, I don't know about you, but I would be livid. I would be pissed off to a level that is hard to imagine. So anyway, let's go down into this paper because, oh, it gets good. Trust me. And then here, the authors, Kim Hyo Neo. I wonder if she's a farmer. I mean, she looks like one. Or Rodrigo Santos. Oh, great, for Bayer Crop Science. You guys know who Bayer is, right? They're the entity that bought Monsanto. So we've got Monsanto and this Asian gal that looks like she's never stepped foot out of a Louis Vuitton, telling us how to be better farmers. Great. So now we go down to the executive summary here. First thing I want to bring to your attention is the policy and regulation. The European Commission, again, this is run by Ursula, who was up there on stage with Klaus. The European Commission has reformed its common agriculture policy, CAP, if you will, and launched new policy initiatives to promote climate smart practice adoption. But the fragmentation and flexibility in national implementation might lower overall ambition on climate and nature, drive market distortions, and limit the ability for solutions to scale. Now, if you didn't pick that up, let me translate that for you. You need to give us all the power and control and authority, because we, the central planners, need to execute our objective or our game plan. Because if we don't have all the power and the control, then we're never, ever, ever going to be able to achieve these things that will save the planet. Because left to their own devices, I mean, if we have all these independent countries and states and farmers and entrepreneurs, if we have all these people making their own decisions, well, we'll never get anything done. So all the decisions have to be made by the central planners. This is the only way we're going to save the planet. Where have you heard this before? This is Marxism 101. And this is why I always say they're Marxists, for heaven's sakes. How can you not see this? How can anyone in the mainstream media? And then I sit there and talk about this, and I guarantee you this YouTube video right now will probably have like some warning label at the bottom, right? Like right above the description, and giving some proper facts and data on the World Economic Forum in an effort to make sure that you're not buying into misinformation and disinformation about all these angels and do-gooders and just benevolent leaders that we have at the World Economic Forum, the IMF, and the EU. I mean, and this is what drives me crazy. If you just read what they're saying, for heaven's sakes, just read it. Mainstream media, just read this. How can anyone with half a brain come to a conclusion that they're not Marxists after reading this? And that they're telling you that this is their objective, that they have to have all the power and the control, or else it's never going to get done. They're telling you this. And here we go. This is, I'm going and reading this part, which I can't highlight this because it's a PDF. But here's where the World Economic Forum also references the EU Green Deal, its goals in demonstrating the feasibility. So what their objective is here is it's the EU Carbon Plus Farming Coalition. And so you wonder, well, what on earth is this nonsense? Well, let's go to Wikipedia. Neutral by 2050, an impact assessed plan will also be presented to increase the EU's greenhouse gas emissions reduction target for 2030 to at least 50% and towards the 55% compared with 1990 levels. The plan to reach existing law, climate merits, and also introduce new legislation in the circular economy. Circular economy. Where have we heard that term before? Oh, that's right. The Great Reset Agenda with the World Economic Forum. Building, renovation, biodiversity, farming, and innovation. Well, it's just shocking that the innovation that they're referring to leads to a lot less food, food prices skyrocketing, and all the farmers having to sell their farms. I wonder who's going to buy them. Weird. It is also very peculiar, in fact, that every single one of their plans requires the central planners to have all of the power and control. That is weird. Again, how anyone can just whistle past this graveyard is absolutely inconceivable to me. This is as obvious as anything I've ever seen. It's as obvious as the sun coming up in the morning. And again, in closing here, I want to be crystal clear. I'm not saying climate change isn't a problem. But I probably what I am saying is the biggest problem with climate change might not be its impact on the world, but the biggest problem with climate change is the people who are trying to leverage it. That may be the biggest problem. And I think that might be a blind spot for the general public. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market, capitalism. See you in the next video.